Love is patient. Well, right there, I think we ought to quit and go home. Patient. If there's anything that's true about life in the United States here in the 21st century, it's that patience isn't part of the equation. We are a let's-have-it-now society. We have no patience for anything. We want it, and we want it yesterday. Love is patient. Well, maybe he does better with the next one. Love is kind. Kind? We don't even like those people, and we've got to be kind to them? And that it's even worse than that. That word kind is a Middle English word. It's the word kind. And we have that word when we say we're next of kin to someone. We're related to someone. We're their aunt or their uncle or their nephew or their niece, their father, their mother, their brother, their sister. We are kin to them. We are their next of kin. We got to treat them like family. So we got to be patient and treat them like family. No. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. You mean I can't be envious of the pastor over at First Whatever United Methodist Church because he has a bigger building and a bigger budget and more people? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. He's taking all the fun away. Let's take a look at some of these words, especially in this sequence. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. This is the first of the contraries here about what love is not, okay? We have it starting with saying love is patient, love is kind, but then it says love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. So let's take a look at the antonyms for envious, boastful, arrogant, rude. Envious, you could say that love is confident, contented, pleased, comfortable. It's the opposite of envious. You're confident and you're comfortable with what you have. You're pleased with what you have received. You're comfortable in the life God has given you. Boastful, the antonyms for boastful are modest, humble, reserved, and selfless. So you could say positively, love is modest, humble, reserved, and selfless. That last one there is really important. Selfless. Arrogant. The antonyms for arrogant are humble, meek, unconceited, and quiet. Well, that last one there could be problematic. Let's try it. Love is humble, meek, unconceited, and quiet. And finally, rude. The antonyms for rude are kind, mannerly, nice, polite, and respectful. Love is kind, mannerly, nice, polite, and respectful. When you say it this way, it really kind of hits home. Love is not a bunch of emotions, my brothers and sisters. Now, it does indeed produce emotion, but true love is far beyond any simple emotion. The Greek had three basic words that in English are rendered as love. The first word is eros. And that is sexual love. We get the word erotic from eros. The second word is philia, and it means kind of like. And we have the concept of philia love enshrined in the name of the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The best way to render it is the love that gives in order to receive. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I like you in hopes that you will like me. I like you so that maybe you'll take me to eat. I like you, and so maybe I can get my way. That's phileo love. That's philia love. That's the love that has strings attached. The third word for love in Greek is agape. The verb form is agapao. And the best translation for that I've ever found anywhere is to consider the needs of another as more important than or essential to your own needs. I'm going to repeat that. Thank you. Agape love, the highest form of love, the kind of love that is being written about here, the kind of love that is being written about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, agape love is considering the needs of another as more important than or essential to your own needs. That's divine love. That's the highest form of love. That's the kind of love that doesn't come from us naturally, but is given by God, that's part of the image of God, that remains even if marred in all of us. It's not confined to only one religion. There are plenty of non-Christians who know and experience and express agape love. It's the kind of love that comes without strings. It's the kind of love that flows to children or parents. Or yes, even brothers and sisters. I may not like them. I may not have much philia for a brother, but I will have agapao for him. I may not phileo my brother, but I agapao him. And yes, I do like him too. He's not here today. But I still like him. And I definitely love him in the sense of agape love. That's what Paul is writing about here in chapter 13. Not like, not the kind of love that has strings attached to it. And not erotic love, but agape love, divine love, the highest form of love. Love is patient. That kind of love is patient and kind. It's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. He's right. It doesn't insist on its own way. When you find yourself always insisting on your own way, it's not flowing from love. Not agape love. It does not rejoice. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't get irritated. And it doesn't resent. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Agape love, the highest form of love, is seated in actions, acts of faith, acts of trust, acts of hope, but actions. It's not, these adjectives are not passive in their sense. They are active in their sense. Love calls forth from us action, patience, and kindness. It calls forth from us confidence, modesty, humility, meekness, quietness, mannerliness, respectfulness, cheerfulness, and agreeableness, to pull antonyms for irritable and resentful. Love calls us to behave in ways that are consistent with this picture. Love calls us to live a life towards others that considers their needs, their hopes, their dreams, their concerns as being more important or essential to our own hopes, our own dreams, our own needs. That's an outward-focused life, my brothers and sisters. That's an other-focused life. Not focusing in on myself, me, myself, and I, but upon others as being the focus that God has for us. It's not about feelings. It's not about the mushy stuff. It's about God's calling for us to be focused on others. It's what Jesus did. It's what God did. In John 3:16, God so loved the world. And that word there is agape. God considered the needs of the world as being more important than or essential to his own need when he gave his Son to come and live among us, to teach us the love of God, to show us the love of God, to heal us and transform us, to feed us and nourish us, to point the way that we are to live, and then to place his arms on the hardwood of the cross and die for us. God so loved the world, and that world included those people who derided him, those people who opposed him, those people who denied him more than three times, those people who accused him, those people who convicted him, those people who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love governed all of Christ Jesus' actions, even the hard ones. Indeed, true agape love calls us sometimes to act in ways that we might not want to act. To upset apple carts, to say things with love at the center of our being that might be difficult, because love calls us to honesty and truthfulness and caring and respectfulness. Love calls us to act in ways and live our lives in ways that are congruent with the ways of Jesus Christ. Well, that's too much for me, Greg. This Christian stuff is too much for me. I like being arrogant. I like being boastful. I like being impatient. I like being unkind. Let that person cut me off on the street again, and I'll be unkind to them and impatient with them in many words and gestures. No. Sorry. Jesus calls us to a new way, to a different way, to a way that is governed by the love of God, to a way that is governed and empowered by the grace of God, to a way that calls us to see in others their needs, their concerns, and treat them as if they were essential to or more important than our own. We have 1 week left in the season of Epiphany. And then we'll transition. We'll have Ash Wednesday, and we'll enter into the season of Lent. And in the season of Lent, we are confronted with the fact that the very love of God that spoke and not a thing became everything, the very love of God became one of us and showed forth the love of God for the whole world by dying in our place. Lent causes us to be confronted by. Lent comes and confronts us. Lent causes us and calls us and enables us to see and understand and accept that love even gives itself to die for us. For those who would deny, for those who would reject, for those who would not accept, for those who would try and convict and nail him to the wooden cross, Jesus had love. Ooh. Well, I have trouble loving that person who cut me off yesterday. And Jesus loved someone who killed him? Yep. God so loved the world and it's all its sin? God will still love the world even though it's sinful? God still loved the world even though it turns its back on him? God still loved the world even though it denies it? Yes. God still loves us and sent his son to die for us. Because God considers your needs and your needs and your needs and your needs as being more important than, or indeed essential to, God's needs, God's love, God's grace, God's will. And therefore, God was willing to reach in to the stuff of time and become incarnate in human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth and show forth the love of God by taking our place, even the place of those who would reject him and never receive him. Jesus died for them too. That's what Lent is about. As we approach the season of Lent, open your eyes and hearts to the one who came to show forth the love of God for the world that rejected him. Receive that love. And then, my brothers and sisters, open your hearts, your minds, and your doors and share that love with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.